you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
What does every grocery store aisle now have in common? Products that come in paper packaging. And not just the obvious ones like cereal boxes and juice cartons. From beauty products to boxed water, there are more opportunities to go papertarian than ever before. So why should you? Because paper comes from a renewable resource and can be recycled up to 7 times. Simply put, it's the smart choice for the environment. And it turns out the easiest choice for you. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian. Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class, a production of iHeartRadio. Hello and happy Friday. Welcome to Casual Fridays. I'm Holly Fry.
I'm Tracy V. Wilson.
Tracy, this week we talked about tarot cards.
We sure did.
Which is something I've wanted to talk about for a while, and I have often walked up to the edge of it and then backed away because it is a very big topic, which I pared down a whole bunch because you can go down an avenue for days. Do you have any tarot cards?
No, not currently. I had, when I was in my 20s, I had a deck, and I could not tell you now what was on it. I had bought it. Probably at a like a new agey bookstore in Asheville, North Carolina would have been the source of that deck, I'm almost certain. I don't have it anymore. Like I will appreciate the visual beauty of people's deck designs, but it has like not been a thing that I have felt compelled to purchase for myself since then.
It's one of those things, like, I have purchased a number of decks over the years or have gotten them because of the art on them. So mine are all a little bit, like, I couldn't read you a tarot spread to save my life. But I have, like, a really fun deck that is all prominent figures of Victorian England.
Adapted. Oh, that's fun.
It's pretty good. Lots of Queen Victoria and the family. Oscar Wilde shows up, all of the key players. I have one that is one of the most beautiful things on the planet, in my opinion. It's by a company called Baba Studio. They make these really beautiful art tarot decks, and it's the Baroque Bohemian Cats Tarot. So it's cats in beautiful 18th century gowns.
I think I've seen that one.
And I love it. And then I have a deck that is just the major arcana, but it's all Cartoon Network characters.
That's also fun.
So fun. And I have one that's on the way that just got released this year that's Nightmare Before Christmas. So obviously, like, I'm in it for the silly art.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's one of those things that it's been interesting. And one of the reasons I finally bubbled this up is because I've had a couple of friends this year mention that they wanted to start studying tarot practices that are more based in meditation.
Oh, yeah.
And how it's like a tool for meditation for a lot of people. And I was like, oh, yes, indeed. That is a thing that people do.
Yeah. I know a lot of people who will sort of pull a card as sort of their self-reflection prompt for the day.
Yeah. It's one of those things, right? I always love a little kind of prompt-based meditation because I'm one of those people that has a hard time with an inroad to meditation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not very still by nature. It's a little bit, when people say clear your mind, I kind of get scared. And I know most meditation in the modern era is not that. It's just about like being with your mind in stillness, et cetera. But something like that makes it a little easier for me to get in the right headspace. So it made me think about it more. And I was like, oh, I should pull out all of those pretty decks of cards that I have that are just sitting in a little wardrobe in my sewing room.
Yeah.
With beautiful books that go with them. But yeah, so this made me think about those. I also, I do get very fascinated by all of the like times over the years, right? You are a little bit younger than me, not by too much, but like, I'm sure you, like me growing up, probably experienced or saw people that were like, ooh, no, that is scary stuff. I would never touch it.
Oh, yeah.
Growing up in my mother's side of the family in particular, there was a simultaneous fear about and fascination with things like tarot cards. And it just makes me chuckle a little bit, being like, it's just a game. You could just play a game if you wanted.
Tarot cards and like Ouija boards, which right. Similarly are like, that's a game that became associated with occult.
Yeah, it says a lot about how quickly humans adapt their thinking to engage with the unknowable in a mm-hmm. way that it's like we all kind of want to engage with the unknowable but don't always know how. And so if someone comes up and goes, I think this was an ancient Egyptian wisdom and magic book, we go, yes, of course it was.
Sure.
But in any case, which is not, I want to be clear, if anybody, you know, does use them for divination, that's not my thing, but good for you. I've been to tarot card readings on occasion. They're quite fun. I enjoy them. I don't want anybody to feel like I'm mocking them. It's just not my jam.
Sometimes I'm not sure what I'm gonna have to talk about during our behind the scenes. And so I was thinking this morning, I was like, I had a tarot reading? Oh, I definitely did. I had this like really involved tarot reading. Oh no, that was when somebody did my astrology chart. That's a whole different thing. But then I remembered a night that I was out at a place that used to be in Atlanta that is gone now called Cafe Tutu Tango.
Yeah.
And I went there with a bunch of friends one night for food and cocktails and stuff. And somebody was doing tarot readings. And I remember getting one. And I have no recollection of what she said to me at all.
I had one that we did for fun at the Renaissance Festival, not the year you and I ran into each other there and had brunch, but a different time, that I still look back on that particular reading with a little bit of a like, huh, because there was some insights that were a little astonishing to me at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Not the kinds of things where like a cold reading guess would play out.
Mm-hmm.
Like it literally, she like laid out my cards and looked at me and said, and Brian will back me up, he was there, you have two bosses and you're caught in the middle and it's making you really miserable. And are they related? And it was a husband and wife that owned the business.
Wow.
And I was like, I'm going to go now. She was just like, I hope you quit that job soon. I was like, me too. Goodbye.
Yeah.
I mean, for all I know, yeah, it was a very strangely good cold reading. But yeah, and I again, the art alone is like where it's at for me.
Mm-hmm.
I love seeing new interpretations of decks. So anyway, if you collect tarot cards, send me your pictures because, you know, I always like some visuals.
For sure.
Otherwise, I hope everybody is having a good October. The second episode that we talked about this week was about hellhounds, demon dogs. I don't want to say devil dogs because that has the association with the military. And I don't want anybody to get confused, which is why I originally was going to call it something like that. And then I was like, nope, 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 nope. That will confuse people. They will come here for military history and they will get me just saying Black Shuck over and over. And nobody, they don't want that.
this is one of those things where I almost put a PSA in the episode, but I'll do it here, which is that I want to make sure we recognize that, you know, things like the black dog myth have not been great PR for black dogs in regular life. If you go to an animal shelter, almost any of them will tell you that the black dogs and cats, for that matter, have the lowest adoption rates. So if you are in the market for a furry friend, consider that. Look at the black dogs and kitties. They're often so sweet.
Speaking as someone who has a bonded pair of black sibling cats, they are the best.
I miss having a black cat in the house. We did for a long time. He has since passed on, and I miss it. There's something very soothing to me about having a black pet. I don't know what it is. Probably it's the lazy part of me that doesn't want to always pick cat hair off of everything that I own, or dog hair for that matter. And I wear a lot of black, so it matches. And now I don't have a single black pet, but it did make me want to run out and adopt a black dog and name it Black Shuck or Barguest, because those are both great names.
This is like how after the Witchfinder General episode, you're going to get cats named Vinegar Tom.
Ready. I love a good pet name. It's interesting, right? I grew up with dogs. I'm an idiot with dogs. We've talked about on the show before that, like, I have actually been attacked by a pack of dogs, and yet I see a big scary dog and I get down on the ground and go, baby. Like, I'd never learn to be careful.
I don't. I know we've told this story in live shows before. I can't remember if I've told it like on the podcast before, but when you and I were on tour last year, I think we were in Texas, and we walked into our venue. And a very large dog came running toward us, dragging its leash behind it.
Yes.
And our reactions to this dog were not the same. Part of this is because I had been playing a lot of Fallout, and there
you're conditioned to not.
The dog's running at you. It's going to be a problem. But then part of it is also like I was raised in a household with a very high-strung Cocker Spaniel that snapped at people.
Yeah.
And one of the many life lessons that my mom tried to teach me that were based on things that would definitely harm me if I ever did them was like not to pet strange dogs, because a strange dog will definitely bite you and then you will get rabies and die. So like dogs are fine, but I do not get very enthusiastic about being run at by the strange dog. And then meanwhile, you were like, baby.
I literally like knelt down on the ground and held open my arms so she could jump at me. I didn't know that dog.
No.
My thing is always like my solution. This isn't accurate. Any behaviorist will tell you, like, don't make these presumptions, is always just to get down on their level, 'cause then they don't see you as threatening.
Mm-hmm.
And I presume they'll just like me. I want to make it clear. I am very, that's clearly a dog that wanted to come and see us. I would not normally go just up to a random person's dog. I always ask, is it okay to say hi to your dog? Are they allowed to be petted by people they don't know, etc.?
Right.
Just good dog etiquette behavior, because not all dogs are ready to meet strangers, and some of them are learning to be sociable.
Yes.
You never know. Puppies.
And then conversely, a lot of people are not okay with having strange dogs approach them.
No. I mean, it is one of those things, right? I always am a little bit surprised when people are like, I don't like dogs. Because that's like going, I don't like breathing. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
What do you mean? Dogs are amazing. But I get it. Everybody's experience is different. It's just sort of those things where my brain's initial reaction is like, what? That doesn't make any sense. But there are lots of people who don't like the things I like. It's fine. I don't have any dogs at the moment. I haven't in a long time, just because for a while it was a case where, like, I travel so much. Our lifestyle is just would not be fair to a dog at all.
Sure, sure.
You know, I have friends that travel a lot and have had a lot of difficulty with their dogs being very stressed by it. And I don't want to do that to a critter. It's one of those things where, like, even during this pandemic would have been a great time to adopt a dog. However, at this point, I have a whole lot of cats, several of whom are very old, grumpy men. They're really not that grumpy, but I also don't want to mess with their life when they're like 15 and go, hey, now you have a puppy. They don't need that. They need to be held and kissed and spoiled. They don't need a puppy in the mix. But yes, I really, really, really am dead serious that I have to go to Rougarou Fest.
Yeah.
It looks like so much fun and like such a good, casual, like delightful way to enjoy all of the many wonders. Anybody who listens to the show knows I love New Orleans and Southern Louisiana culture and food specifically. So I'm not joking. I'm coming for you, Rougarou Fest. If anyone hears this, I will be there next year if it happens. I already went to their website and bought things.
Nice. Nice.
I figure, you know, it's a tricky year for any kind of events like that. So anyway, I can support them. I'm happy to do it. We hope that you guys all have a very, very safe and as delightful as possible Halloween if you celebrate it. Mm-hmm. If you don't celebrate Halloween, I just hope your autumn is going delightfully. If you're in a part of the world where this isn't autumn, I just hope you're getting by okay and everything is fine.
Yes. I think we're going to put some individually packaged Halloween treats at our curb. So if trick-or-treaters come by, they can pick them up in a socially distanced way.
Yeah, we my friend Kay in San Francisco was saying she was thinking about using clothespins to just clip little tiny treat bags to a little bush outside their house.
Oh, fun!
Which is a smart idea because it keeps it up off the ground and yet kids can get it really easily and super smart. So great idea from her that I now share with the world. So if you are doing Halloween-y things, do them safely. We hope you enjoy and that it is a fun respite from the stress of the world we live in.
Yeah.
If you would like to subscribe to the show, you can do that. We are always happy to have it. You can do that on the iHeartRadio app, at Apple Podcasts, or anywhere you listen. Happy Halloween!
Stuff You Missed in History Class is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
So, should we go electric?
I think we should go electrified with Toyota.
Electrified?
Electrified means options. Yes, we could go all electric with a Toyota bZ4X, but then there are hybrids like Grand Highlander, or we could do something in between like a RAV4 plug-in hybrid.
So, Toyota is electrified diversified?
Yep, and with more options for reducing carbon emissions, the closer we all get to Toyota's Beyond Zero vision for the future.
Exactly how much coffee have you had this morning?
Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.